This morning, let's begin this reading God's Word. So if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 to 15. If you don't have a Bible, there's a bunch of them over there on the chief table. So 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 15. And it reads, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Verse 5, For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Verse 10, Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And finally, verse 15, And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So today we're going to be looking at a couple of sections of scripture that the Apostle Peter wrote. If you're not familiar, Peter was one of the original 12 disciples. He was a teacher in the early church. By trade, before he became a pastor, he was a fisherman. If you know a little bit about him, you know that he's quite a passionate kind of guy, very opinionated. He witnessed the miracles of Jesus. He performed some miracles. He walked on the water. That's pretty cool. But then he fell down in the water. It's a cool part of scripture. And what's interesting about Peter is he defended Jesus when he was going to be arrested, but also he denied knowing Jesus soon after that, when Peter's life was in danger. Today, as we learn more about scripture, I think Peter's life is a good example of repentance, this idea of changing one's mind and living differently as Christians. So by way of introduction, that's Peter's little snippet of his life. To recap, if you haven't been with us the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called Church. That picture is us. Oh! Hey! That wasn't magic. That was just, we don't believe in magic. Or if we do, but that it wouldn't be from God. Church. So we've been talking about who the church is. The past few weeks, we talked about the church are a group of worshipers. The church is a family. The church are servants. This week we're going to be talking about how the church are a group of learners. So to start off, I'm going to talk about the big picture, get more smaller, and finally talk about application, about how we as a church can be learners. What is learning? What does it mean to learn? I think the greatest lesson is to love God and to love others as Jesus taught. This love is enabled by God's grace, by His Spirit, who changes us more and more into God's image. We who are believers every day. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's Word, what He said, what He taught His disciples. He also encourages us and comforts us and prompts us. I think as we learn more about who God is today, we should keep in mind that God's ways is different from our ways. And so some things might not logically make sense. I think life's greatest lessons are taught by our greatest teachers. I don't know about you, but some of my favorite teachers are my family. I didn't want to learn how to box in high school, but my dad forced me anyway. Now I'm thankful, because if someone tried to attack me, I at least know how to raise my fist up to protect my face and punch with my hip. I can defend myself. Like, you can defend yourself with the word of God against the enemy. I think about my grandpa who taught me how to use a computer. Nowadays, it's not just floppy disks, it's like this everywhere, right? And so on and so forth. Think about people who meant a lot to your life. And you, as you reflect, you'll think about that there wasn't just the information or the contents that was passed on to you. It's more, it's that, but it's also a part of who they were passed on to you. I think as we learn more about God and learning to love one another, we learn about how we learn emotionally or spiritually, of course, physically, all these things are growing each and every day. One person who is a brilliant physical person was Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee was a very, very thoughtful man. I remember reading some of his writings a few years ago in his Copley Library, and I read it. His wife compiled a bunch of his writings. I was like, yeah, Bruce Lee is my grandpa in martial arts too. So I was like, yeah, it's my grandpa. And then I started reading his stuff. If you didn't know, he's a philosophy major at UW. And his greatest book is over there. But just reading his words and like he has good quotes, you know, like you must be like bamboo, you know, and you must be like water, right? All those things are good. Some of the things in that book was just very like in circles, and I was just like, man, like where was he going with it? But he's a brilliant martial artist. And one of his quotes that I think is appropriate for today, and he said, you can double check on the internet. Knowing is not enough, you must apply. Willing is not enough. So I think that idea of having a focus and zeal, like Bruce Lee had for martial arts, should be the same for those of us who trust in Christ. We should just have that same kind of like zeal and like one inch power punch of like sharing the gospel and being like enthusiastic about the word of God. So I think keep those things in mind. Teachers that run before us, Bruce Lee, focus. With that in mind, I wanted to read a scripture together. So, 2 Timothy, this is talking about the word of God. Let's read this together. Ready? All scripture is read out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So with that in mind, the word of God corrects us, it trains us, it makes us ready to do good things. Alex was just talking about this week, about being really excited because he's been doing good things. And it's awesome because God is changing his heart, and I'm sure he's changing all of our hearts in one way or the other. It's not always easy to do good things, but God changes us. He makes us more like who he is. Today, the main idea that I want to get across to you are three things. One, that learners grow in the Bible. Two, that learners grow in the gospel. And three, learners grow in obedience. God's words. So step one, grow in the Bible. One of my favorite pastors, speakers, John Piper says this, if you want to hear God speak, then read God's word. So it's as simple as that. Think of the Bible, read it. The word learner means implies that you're students of scripture. We're students of our great teacher Jesus. And we learn more about who he is. You know, the Bible is a very big, long thing with a bunch of stuff going on. And so part of learning more about God is learning a little bit more about what the Bible is, what different parts are like, about God creating the world, God speaking to different prophets, and setting a plan of redemption, of saving us from sin and emotion. So, all throughout the Bible, it doesn't seem very relatable, but there are things that will make sense when you read about Jesus in the New Testament more if you study more about Moses and the law, and even like we went through Ecclesiastes a few weeks ago about wisdom, about what it looks like to what God values in His Word. And it's a story that we can relate to, too, of God's people, the Jews, failing to obey, but God was intervening with His grace. Growing in the Bible means not just accumulating these facts, but it's also growing in the knowledge of who God is. And we see testimony of how He interacts with His people, how He interacts with the world, and like I said, how He feels about certain things, what He values. And it ultimately points to Jesus, who died for sins. If you're not familiar with the Jews, who sacrifice animals on the altar, and it would represent a sacrifice, a replacement of them. The sacrifice would be like, you know, this is my sin, it's gonna die, I should die, but the animal is dying in my place. So kind of like, there's a bunch of ancient cultures that sacrifice things. I think we in Hawaii are aware that wine culture would sacrifice things, humans do, that, I mean, that's around the world, but not just unique to wine culture, but I think it's interesting to think about because if you look at a lot of those cultures, people would sacrifice things maybe to appease a god. Whereas our God used it as a picture of not just, a sacrifice would please Him, but, you know, God says that He desires mercy, not sacrifice. That's something He said. But it's not just that, it's more like this is a picture of what you deserve. And as we get to know Jesus, where He died for our sins, this is what God has done for you. And if you look at a bunch of different religions that stand in contrast to the Bible, it's about man trying to get to some kind of higher plane, enlightenment, etc. Whereas God, the God of the Bible, reaches down into broken humanity and sends His Son for us to die. So, all that to say, learn more about the Bible, you learn more about who God is. With the idea in mind that ultimate objects of learning, though, it's not the Bible, but God Himself. So, look. Why do we learn the Bible? Like I said, it's we learn more about God. It's how we hear God. It's how God has chosen to reveal Himself. His God likes books. We learn about His characteristics. He's a holy God. He's not like us, like I said. His ways are not our ways. It's a God who loves His children, who protects His children. A God who has a plan, who reveals it part in part to His prophets. Also, growing in the Bible informs us how to understand, like I said, where Jesus is coming from. It also keeps us from making decisions that are weird and strange and cultish, because there's a standard that we can go back to and not be like, well, today I feel like God is telling me to eat cotton candy for communion instead of bread and wine. No, that's not in the Bible. You can't just make up stuff. So it's a standard of our how we operate, right? And you know, we grow in the Bible, Christians grow in the Bible because we love God. I think we need to make the distinction between, you know, I'm doing this because I love you, which is legitimate, you know, oh, Juliet, I love you, I'm going to do this, whatever, you know, romantic stories, etc. But I think we need to come to a place where, you know, if you've ever been in love, you know, like, when you're with someone that you love a lot, you like to ask them questions, you want to listen, you want to get to know them more. And I think that kind of idea we should have when we're getting to know God. Like, one short story I'll share is, like, I got into theater acting my senior year in high school, and my best friend was in this play that was about Jungle Book, and he's playing Bagheera, the Panther. And I was writing for the new Tsuna paper my junior year, first semester. And, like, I watched the play, and I was like, whoa, I want to be that guy, or that character, or something. And so I spent all night with the people, writing the article, like, I love this person did this really well, that was okay, but everything was really good, you should watch it. So that kind of part, I think, because I've always known that I love stories. So the same idea, we love God, we want to get to know Him more, let's read His Word. and engagement as learners. Step two, grow in the gospel. So I'm going to read another section of Peter's writings. This is from 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. If you want to go there, you can. You don't need to. It's quite short. But Peter writes this about concerning this salvation. He says, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, the people who went, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have now been announced to you, to those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So I stole this idea from this book I read, but he talks about this scripture. You know, I think it's amazing to think, like, angels, these, like, super cool beings that, like, can destroy cities or whatever, or do whatever that God tells them to do, like, are longing to look into things that we're involved in, into the gospel. It's like, whoa, like, I can't even, like, wake up for work after, like, snoozing my alarm, like, 5 times. Like, why would an angel want to be interested in anything I'm doing? But I think that speaks, of course, it speaks more to not just who I am or you are, but more about the contents of the message, about the gospel, about the power of the gospel. And in the gospel, we figure out, what does God require of man? How does God see sin? It provides a framework for how we view the whole world. And, you know, I think about, like I mentioned, like it was saying in the scripture, hundreds of years and hundreds of prophecies by different peoples in different times throughout Jewish culture and history, sometimes captured by some foreign nation, sometimes like living in prosperity and in a good economy. You know, hundreds of years of prophecy all about Jesus. It's like I think about like an epic hero from like, you know, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or something. Like, it's all about like this one guy, like all hundreds of years in the making. And that story that Jesus is a part of, he invites us who are his children into as well. We are made right before a holy God because of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And our sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve, we naturally want to rebel against God and even hate him. But the essence of grace, I think about, like, going back to the topic of learning, God gives us this ability to learn to love as he loves. And I think that's one way to look at the gospel. That God gives us a new nature. He makes us new creations. And categories to think about, I'm not going to go too much into this right now. It's a bunch of theological things. But things to think about in the gospel are these four things: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And what that means, basically all you need to know: God created the world, he's our king, sin enters the world, we fall. God sets a plan of redemption, and one day he will restore all things. So if you want a nutshell, put it in a nutshell. Put it in a nutshell, it's those four things. And as learners of this gospel, you know, we should test what we know. Anything I say today is up for debate. It's up for examining, like, is anything I'm saying making sense, A, and B, is it coinciding with anything that the Bible says? That, like I said, is our standard. So it takes study. It takes discipline. And in studying and learning more about God, too, we confess, we pray. Think learners examine their hearts. Jesus, the main things he was saying when he was preaching throughout Judea was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I think learners learn to repent. And my girlfriend was talking about this. I asked her, like, what is learning? You know, because she teaches Taiko. She's like teaching Taiko, practicing Taiko right now. And She's talking about how she's talking to a coworker about that the other day. So she's saying, like, the best students are just like the little kids. Like, the best kids are the kids that are, like, open and receptive and are like, yeah, I'll do that, you know? The worst kids, the worst students, it has nothing, she said, it has nothing to do with being a nice or a good person. Because the kids, the poor students are the ones who are prideful and thought they knew what they were doing and were just like, look, you know? And I think if you examine your own life, or if you look around at examples around you, people will not tend to grow if they think they've already arrived. So I think having that posture of humility, knowing that you do not know everything, is a good thing to have. Step three. So step one, we grow in the Bible, grow in the gospel. Three, we grow in obedience. I'm going to look at, again, the first thing we read earlier today. Peter writes, examining what it means to grow in obedience as Christ's followers. So, talks about divine power granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. So, this divine power, God gives us all things. He provides for us. It's not by our own study or effort or trying to learn, though those things are good, that makes us wonderful or right before God. But, like I said, the divine power that God grants to us enables us through the knowledge of the one who called us out of darkness into light, to learn to love. So it goes on, his divine power was granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if you want to make sure I'm saying the scripture, it is, I'm back at 2 Peter 1:3-15. If you want to follow along. All things pertaining to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who calls to his own glory and excellence. So through the knowledge of Christ, he gives us all things pertaining to life and living God and God, by which he granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, you, the original audience that Peter's writing to, us as disciples, if you're a disciple of Christ, so that through them, through these precious and great promises, you too may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through sinful desire. We're made new in Christ. We're blessed because God intends for us to be a blessing. We have received peace with God. We're reconciled to him where once we were enemies. We have a hope of a life beyond this imperfect one. And we have a love stronger than death, stronger than anything. So as you become more knowledgeable and students of the Bible, I encourage you to think about these things. Look at what great and precious promises that God has promised to each one of us, to those who are in his family. And also, okay, so the other thing I want to talk about too in this section, partaker, so that through these promises we become partakers of the divine nature. A partaker, in which we speak, is a common nose. I don't know how to say it, but it means a sharer, associate. It could mean a companion, fellowship, partner. So we become an associate of this divine nature, some kind of sharer in it, that angels long to look into. And so there's a sense of mystery of it. Hey, I'm going to share about Jesus. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I'm going to keep reading the Bible. I'm partaking in the divine nature. So it's interesting. Verse 5, for this very reason, and Peter lists all these things to that are qualities, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. I think of all these categories of qualities under the umbrella of love. You know, just because you love someone, I think, like, doesn't mean you're just going to do whatever for them. Well, one sense you go to be with wisdom and self-control. You're not going to throw yourself off of that because someone says, oh, if you love me. Every day we become more and more like Jesus. As his qualities are increasing, that the apostle says, it's like spending time with a mentor, someone you love very much, hero. Like being studious or reading a lot, being moralistic and hardworking and trying to be political and active in the community, like my grandma, hardworking, like my dad, who's been working for a helping company for all my life, pretty much. You know, all these things that people in our lives give imperfect images of who God is, these different qualities. I think these are things we should imitate, and it's a part of learning about more of loving God and loving others. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. So, some questions to ask. Are you growing in the knowledge of Christ? Are you truly saved? Are you learning to love more and grow more in the Bible, in the gospel, and knowing who this awesome God is? I encourage you to examine your hearts. And if you don't know the Lord, and if you know someone that doesn't know the Lord, encourage them as well to examine their hearts. Verse 11, for in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, one day we will be with God, the new heaven and the new earth, and that's the end goal. That's what we want, is to be with our God. And Peter goes on to say that he wants to remind them before putting off of his body, which I assume means he's going to die soon. I'm not quite sure, but that's what it seems like he's saying. So this whole section is talking about becoming more and more like Christ, becoming more and more pure and living holy lives, a term called sanctification, knowing more about Jesus, growing to become more like Jesus, being a one, reflecting more and more of who God is. I think about, I mean, here in verse 9, when Peter says that people who lack these qualities are blind and they forget, I think about this one song I used to hear in this chapel when I was growing up. It's a song, the lyrics are something like, you remember how you loved us, to your death, and then something else. And then for whatever reason, at 7 years old, I would cry hearing that. And it's something powerful about remembering what someone says after they die, you know, if you've been to funerals, or even like famous like people that, like Bruce Lee, right? Like, you remember all these things because he's such a great person to so many people. And like, I think about like Peter, right, like we talked about earlier, in his life, like being gung-ho about Jesus, and then all of a sudden like betraying him and saying like, no, I don't know where that is. And then Jesus dies on the cross and he's like, OMG, like, I just like totally betrayed like Jesus, you know? And he felt terrible. And if you read further more, these are like accounts if you read in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are testimonies of Jesus' life and teachings. At the end of John, there's this cool scene where the disciples are like, I don't know what to do or whatever. And they're fishing, because that's what they do, right? They knew how to fish. And then this guy appears, and it's Jesus, but they don't know who he is. And then Peter all of a sudden is like, OMG, it's Jesus! And then he's like, he jumps out of the boat, he's like, I'm gonna go hang out with Jesus. And then everyone else is like, dude, like, you could have just waiting in the boat, we're like really close to shore. He says, oh, I'm gonna get wet, or whatever. And they had lunch. And there's an exchange between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, man, I love you. He doesn't say yeah. I said, yeah, yes, that's what I do. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And he asks him two more times, you know? He's like, yes, you know that I love you. And you're an omnipotent, omniscient God that knows everything, right? And some people, I've heard it preached before, that exchange is kind of like a reversal of when Peter denied our Lord a few times. When Peter, Jesus was arrested. And I think that's a great, it's a gentle and realistic way of looking at repenting, or reconciling with someone who you think who you've done wrong to, you know? I think that's a great picture of thinking about how we every day are in need of repentance, of changing our minds about things, of asking for forgiveness for things that we've done wrong, of celebrating the things that, you know, celebrate, oh God, Jesus, you know, I'm going to read my Bible, yes, you're not going to get wet maybe, but, you know, this idea of repentance and living life with God and learning to live with God. Finally today, our application points, all these words, testify, repent, be pray, study, reply. Very basic things. Testify, all I mean is you share with others your story, how God has changed you, what God is doing and has done for humanity. Testify and share in the grace of God. Like I said, a lot today, we repent of ungodly habits, mindsets, ideas that are contrary to what God is about, what He values. And we do that by learning more about who God is, by reading His Word, learning more about who He is. And that is how we learn more about who we are as His image bearers. And before we pray, we learn to converse with God. You know, with someone, it's like someone you love very close, very much, you know, you share things with them. That's how we get prayer. And finally, we also study. We examine what the Word of God is saying to the people that it's presented to. How does that apply? That's one reason why we gather here on Sunday mornings, or go to Bible studies, listen to podcasts of people who got PhDs and know kind of what they're doing, or they go to school to teach you, right? And from that studying, we apply to the part that is resting in the knowledge that as Christians we're one of God's children. So today, in conclusion, we've learned that there's an attitude. I like that title, sorry, I think there's a piece in my mind is I just heard this humble. The idea of being humble and learning and being open. And you know, one of my part-time jobs is that both of my partners are teaching. One of them is a small kid, so he's in high school. And preparing for the sermon today, I was thinking a lot about more like teaching as opposed to learning. You know, teaching, like, I don't like planning things. There should be a plan for learning something. Sometimes. But, you know, like, lesson plans and, like, music, like, we can just, like, talk about this and, like, kind of do stuff. But, you know, I didn't really think about the learning aspect, you know. And learning is a part of being open mind, you know, you're exploring. I think about the little piano students, they're only like 4 or 5. Or the type of students that I heard about. They're just naturally wanna, they're curious, right? So I think that attitude of learning, wanting to know more about our God, being curious about who He is, something we should take away. As we continue to change our minds about who God is, who we are as people, about what love is. So I encourage you today to continue to start in a new enthusiasm to learn more about who God is and who His people are. And that way we can better image who God is and love one another.